You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to the action coming up on Wednesday. It's a 1:40 start time on Racing Radio with Gordon Brown, Craig Forsyth and Chris Pimlott in the studio. We've got Beverley, Salisbury and Newton Abbott during the afternoon, Worcester, Kempton and Goram Park in the evening. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. John Babb. How are you, John?
I'm very well, yeah, good.
Good.
Yeah.
Nice one. We're in the middle of the flat season, really, and it's a bit of a slow news day, really, because I was just having a look through some of the news stories. One of the stories was about York buying some stalls from Australia so they can have bigger field sizes. I'm dismissing that slightly. The upshot of that is that you can have more runners in the Ebor and such like that.
I thought it was to do with safety round bends and things like that.
Well, York's quite wide, isn't it? I think it was purely because they just didn't have the stalls big enough. I think it's now the biggest set of stalls in the UK, and I don't think they manufacture them over here to be that big. So they've brought some in from Australia for a six-figure sum.
Oh, okay. Right.
But yeah, I mean...
I didn't think the restriction on numbers was because of that, because I always thought they could stick three sets together and probably get 30 runners anywhere, but I didn't...
Well, the chief executive of York, William Darby, has said, with a set track width... And this new single 22-base stall allows us to increase the number of horses we can start from 20 to 22. So
okay.
I think it might have just been a stalls issue before, because York's obviously very wide and never changes, does it? They don't move the rails really that much at York. So
they possibly couldn't have got us... It would have meant they'd have had to put a third set that would have carried 30 horses, and they couldn't get that many.
Yeah.
Or they couldn't get that
they
set
couldn't
in.
Fit those in, yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah, I see.
But, yeah.
So it seems a big expense for two runners, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? But then again, they got £1 million handicap there now, haven't they? So I suppose it's... If it makes the handicap better,
yeah,
I can see why they do it. But that's the calibre of news we have today, where we're just discussing how many runners we can fit in a track.
Right.
So what I'm going to do is we're going to talk about some betting instead, and some of the good horses we've seen, what we may see back on the Knaves Mare, in fact, in the Judmont International. Before we get to that, though, a lot of talk of Alpha Centauri after her victory at the weekend.
Yeah,
she's been talked up as the best filly to come out of Ireland for a long time. One of the best three-year-old fillies we've seen for a while, I think. My question to you, John, is she just the best three-year-old around this year, let alone of gender?
I think she is. I mean, she put the ground issue to bed as well at the weekend. Obviously, I would have expected it to be pretty long odds on, really, at Deauville, whereas she was reasonably easy to back on the day, considering she was, you know, looked different grade to the opposition. And, I mean, she won as if she should have been about 4-1 on. She travelled through the race lovely. The ground was of no consequence to her, and she's won... without really knowing she'd had much of a race, really. She never looked in any trouble at all. She's been putting some sensational performances, and for a filly, she's held her form well through the year, and hopefully she'll continue into the autumn, because she's exciting. She's good to watch.
Yeah.
She does give a bit of a buzz about the day, doesn't she, as regards the race card when she's running?
Yeah, big time, yeah. In terms of official ratings as well, she is officially the best filly that we've seen come out of Ireland for 23 years.
Right.
She's now rated as good as Ridgewood Pearl.
Right, yeah.
On a mark of 1.24. She's actually got the same mark as Arc Winner Found, but obviously she won the Arc as a four-year-old, so
right. She's
only a three-year-old. So she's the best three-year-old filly to come out of Ireland for 23 years on official ratings. And she just looks... The way she does it is the best thing, isn't it?
She's lovely.
So easy. She travels so well. And, she's a superstar. Do you think they'll end up with the Arc or something like that back in the year, or do you think they'll keep her to the mile trip? Or
I mean, she's got tempting, such a lot of speed, though, hasn't she? I wouldn't have thought it would be something they'd necessarily want to do, and especially when you're looking at breeding down the line. A value of her stock, she's going to be of immense value, really, as a broodmare.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have thought they'd change what they've got. They've basically got a winning machine at the distance. Why change it?
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah. because there is this temptation to just try for the big prize, isn't there, even if it doesn't really suit. And
the prizes she's running for aren't too shabby.
They're not, to be fair. Correct, yeah. Yeah, mm. She's not going claiming and then suddenly turn up in the act. Yeah, yeah, good stuff. That's a little bit of news about her. Just keeping with the news of superstars, if you like, or stars of the season. We've got the Judmont International coming up, and Roaring Lion, there's been a lot of talk about how well he's worked. He's 5-2 second favourite, actually, behind Poet's Word for the Judmont International. Saxon Warrior 9-2, 6-1 Cracksman, 7-1 Enable, and 9-1 our bigger prices for the others. Would be nice to see Enable back on the track, of course. But in terms of the positive reports about Roaring Lion, do you see him having as good a chance as the market suggests there?
Definitely. Obviously, you know, you look back to his run on this particular track back in May. It was a pretty sensational last furlong and a half. Threw him as one, you know, obviously as one of the contenders for the Derby after that, which people weren't really expecting. But back at this course over this trip, you have to see him as a runner. What you're probably not going to be hoping for, I wouldn't think, is a deluge, which can happen at York, and sometimes you can just, you know, it throws everybody's best laid plans out when you can get a sodden knaves mire. But let's hope not. Let's for the quality of the race we've got on board next week. We'd at least want him to be seeing good ground, really. Particularly with the summer we've had, we don't particularly at this stage necessarily want to see the form book being thrown out the window, considering relevant, you know, relating to the horses and the form that they've built up during 2018. When you look at the book here, when you see we've got Poet's Word and Crystal Ocean in there at sort of between 5-2 and 10-1. Now I'd be surprised if they took each other on again. Then you've got Roaring Lion, Cracksman, and Enable in from the Gosden Yard. Now I can't imagine all three of them are going to run. Now, it just looks like a race that's going to cut up to me. And with that very positive message that you've had for Roaring Lion, he looks as though he'd probably be nearly a certain runner. So, in many ways, if you're going to back him, it looks like not a bad call to be backing him now. I mean, yeah. To be honest, you can get on each way first three. I wouldn't be surprised if there's only 6 or 7 runners here. So. That's how it looks to me, but
yeah, I agree with that. It's 5-2 at the moment with us.
Yeah, it's gonna take, because obviously if he's come out and done a sensational piece of work, that would probably be his last real proper piece of work before the race. They're not going to do another one on Saturday or anything. I'm not saying he's not going to go out and canter or gallop or he's going to do something, but he's not going to do another serious fast piece of work.
No, so.
There shouldn't really be any more problems now, but obviously there can be. Anything can happen. But so, don't shoot the messenger if you have an anti-post bet and if you don't turn up. But it looks to me as though you've got things in your favour, because he looks a 99% probable runner, whereas I wouldn't be sure the others are.
Yeah, obviously usual perils of anti-post betting. If he doesn't turn up, you would, of course, lose your stake there. But 5-2, if it does cut up in the 6 or 7, like you say, won't be 5-2 on the day, will it?
No.
So that's the anti-post game, really, isn't it? Which side of the coin do you want to be on? That's coming up next week, of course. We've got plenty to look forward to at York next week. We've got the Nunthorpe and the Ebor, of course, along with the Judmont International. So plenty of great stuff to look forward to on the Knaves Mile. We will, of course, build up to that over the next week or so. But let's turn our attention to matters a little bit closer to hand. We do have racing coming up on Wednesday, and John has a couple of races prepared for us. The first of them is the 5 o'clock at Beverley. We have a Class 5 handicap over 5 furlongs coming up at that time. We've got a field of 10 set to go to post here, and on the tissue I've got in front of me, it's not necessarily always accurate, it looks like it's going to be, you know, like a 7-2, 4-1 kind of field, the race with 10 runners. It could have a nice each-way shape to it.
Oh, you've got a tissue there in front of you. What have you got in as favourite there?
Renthorpe is the 9-2 favourite, in fact, on the tissue I have in front of me. But
oh, OK, right. OK, so we're not on the favourite. Now, the horse I like here is Lawrence Mullaney's filly, Our Little Pony.
Yeah.
Coming back to Beverley, the track, she's won there twice, and she's run there a fair few times. That's some tidy form here. Early on in her career, I didn't know whether she'd potentially have the scope to go on as long as she has, but she's held her form well, because she's not the biggest, but she's a battler. And so she does handle the Beverley track well. She's in store one tomorrow. She won here 2 runs ago with Fame at Manaman on board, who's obviously kept the relationship next time at Thirsk. And I thought it was a good run behind Nun's Walk at Thirsk, on good to soft ground. But coming back to Beverley on hopefully slightly faster ground tomorrow. The rain hasn't really hit that part of Yorkshire, so that's still good to firm as we get in it at the moment. But maybe nearer to good come tomorrow. So that should just be perfect. But that run behind Nuns Walk and Cody Cat, when she was drawn in stall 11, it did favour a little bit high numbers. But from there, Santa Fiora has come out of the race and run well since. I think it's solid handicap form. And coming back to Beverly, I think it'll be a big performance tomorrow from Our Little Pony. What price have you got that on your tissue?
On the tissue, 11-2. But
yeah, that seems. I'd be surprised if she was 11-2. Okay. I'd be surprised if she was 11-2.
But so if you see any 11-2, about snap it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Good. That's Our Little Pony then, the selection for John in the 5 o'clock at Beverley. And we go to the all weather next for his next pick, the 8:30 at Kempton. It's a class 4 handicap over 7 furlongs, a field of 9 set to go to post for this one. We've got a fairly decent field of runners in okay form here. Dance Teacher arrives in winning form. Perfect Hustler was a winner last time out as well. Tamagun Ridge has been knocking on the door. It's quite an open little heat.
Yeah, and you've really touched on sort of the main protagonist here. There's a few in here I don't really fancy, but I do think we'll get a good pace in this race with the Dance Teacher, who went off and made all on second start for Sean Keatley. It was quite impressive on the first run at Newmarket, built on that with the win. Don't quite know how much more there is to come, really. We had a very good ride off Sylvester D'Souza to win last time. It's going to have to improve again to trouble the judge here. And Heart Power will probably go from the front as well, from a wide box with Tom Queeley. So with the blinkers on first time, that looks a positive intent from Ishmael Mohammed, who's got his horses in good form. So I would expect, at least for Kempton, on a standard to slow track, that we're going to get a well-run race, which is what you're looking for, because sometimes you do get some messy affairs around this track. But we hope we'll get a straight run here. And the other two that you mentioned, I think, are the two to concentrate on here, which are Perfect Hustler, which is the sexy one that people, I think, are probably going to fall over themselves a little bit to get with. The 3-year-old of Jerry Mendicidas won last time at Ascot, beating Prevent. It looks good, solid form. The horse is up £5 for that. Adam Kirby staying with the horse again tomorrow. It's got all weather form. It ran here in April, finishing second round this track behind Nordic Passage. Again, that was off a mark of 80, and there is mileage in it, but I just suspect I know the way the market's going to go here. And what price have you got that on your tissue there?
Perfect Hustler's 100-30 on the tissue.
Yeah, when this market opens up, I'd be surprised if that was much bigger than 2-1.
And they'll
still want to back it at that. The horse, I think, will end up being the value player. Will probably be Tarmigan Ridge here for James Fanshawe. He's had a fairly quiet year, James Fanshawe, it has to be said. But his horses in the last couple of weeks haven't been running too bad. They've had a couple of winners, and they do generally come quite good at this time of the year. And this horse has got... He's in drawn in stall one, should get a really nice run round off a good pace. He should have options in the straight, I would guess, to come either cut away or come down the middle of the track. So should leave plenty of options for Danny Muscat, who's teaming up with the horse for the first time for a few runs. Did win on the horse when it won its maiden at Leicester last October. But its Kempton form is solid for me. It's running some nice races there and always runs to a fairly consistent sort of mark. I think the race will be run to suit. Tarmigan Ridge will get a nice run round the rail, off a good pace, and it'll be there as the stalker. And I think that if anything's going to upset Perfect Hustler, it'll be Tarmigan Ridge, and he'd be my each way play in the race.
Yeah, I can see the angle there. In terms of Kempton form, his furthest distance away from winning has been 2 3/4 lengths, and every other time he's been there, he's been closer. Only being a short head there last time, so goes right well on the track. And from that stall, I can see the angle there. Yeah, Tamagun Ridge, the selection for John. Then that's his each way pick in that 8:30 at Kempton, and that goes along with his selection in the 5 o'clock, which was Our Little Pony. Been a pleasure as always, John. Very best of luck and enjoy it on Wednesday.
Thanks very much, Mark.
There you go. That's the selections for John Babb. Then you can hear Wednesday's action on Racing Radio. We have a 1:40 start time. Gordon Brown, Craig Forsyth and Chris Pimlott, the team in the studio. It's Beverley, Salisbury and Newton Abbott in the afternoon. So a good mixture of turf and jumps racing there, including a listed race as well at Salisbury in the Upavon Filly Stakes. We've got Worcester, Kempton and Goran Park in the evening. And there's also listed racing over the Irish Sea at Goran in the Hurry Harriet Stakes. So some good stuff to look forward to. Do join the team for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.